Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20 through 29. Verse 20 through 29. So let's read together. Now, if you're new, we've been going through the book of Hebrews. Okay, we started about 3 or 4 months ago, and we're going, verse by verse through the book of Hebrews. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been in Hebrews chapter 11, which is known as the Faith Hall of Fame. I love to kid around with the young folks and say that we don't have any young folks. Maybe a couple in here. Yep, okay. That it's kind of the superheroes, you know, the super friends, superheroes of the Bible, kind of all clumped up in this chapter 11. So we're going to take a look at that. And that's where we're at today. So let's read verses 20 through 29. It says, by faith, Isaac revoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. For by faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. And verse 29, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Everybody said amen? Amen. So let's go. We got a lot of work to do this morning, so hang in there with me. Take good notes. And the last few weeks, we've been studying about the faith that pleases God. And, we don't just need faith to please God, but we also need it in our practical daily parts of our lives. As we go along in life, it takes faith to even just get up out of the bed sometime. Everybody say amen? You know, and trust in the Lord. But every now and then, we'll need faith at a certain times more than others. Would you all agree with that? I mean, most of you in here live long enough to understand exactly what I mean by that. In this passage, in these scriptures we read this morning, we discover that there's two times in life that we will need faith more than others. And so if you have your sermon notes, here we go. Ready? The first is when it's time to die. When it's time to die. And the second is when it's time to decide. When it's time to decide. And we're going to talk about each one of those. So here we go. Let's talk about the first one. We're going to need faith more when it's time to die. Now, I know, you know, most of us don't like to talk about death or when we're going to die, and that's not something I talk about a lot, but we are preaching the scriptures. We are going through Hebrews. So in these scriptures, it talks about death and dying. As a professional counselor, I can tell you, if you have loved ones that are at that age where they, you know, may be getting time, it's good and healthy for you to start talking about dying and death. It seems odd, you know, like my mother, you know, precious mother. I know she's going to die soon. You know, she's going to pass away soon. Now, that soon may mean next week, next year, or 10, 20 years from now. And all of you are going to die. And your mom and dads are going to die. And so it's good to start thinking and verbalizing it out loud that, you know, my wife, precious wife of love, she's going to die. Hopefully not very soon, you know. That's not our plan anyway. But who knows, right? But the more you talk about it, it never makes it easy, you know. But you can get through the grieving process a little bit better when you're actually able to talk about it. So, let's look at the verses. Verse 20. Everybody say amen? Okay, verse 20. It tells us that by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on his sons, Jacob and Esau. And by his faith, Isaac had full confidence that God in the future would keep his promise to his father Abraham. He knew by faith that these promises were going to be fulfilled, that what God said he was going to do. And we all know God chose Isaac's younger son, Jacob, to continue the fulfillment of this promise. And later, if you know, if you study the Bible, later you know that Jacob, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And then Jacob then had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Now let's look at verse 21. It says that by faith, Jacob, when dying, remember this first point, we're going to talk about death and dying, so hang with me. Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Now Jacob tells his sons, Joseph, he is about to die. He tells him, I'm about to die. He also tells him that God will bring his descendants to the promised land. He speaks these words over his children and his grandchildren. Now, as they were dying, Isaac and Jacob, that we just read in these scriptures, are great examples of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Isaac and Jacob reveal the kind of faith we need when it comes time for death. Now, sometimes, you know, they walk by faith, and other times they stumbled by sight, if you really study their lives. Now, let's go on to the scriptures in the next faith hall of fame is Joseph. So we'll start looking at Joseph. God devoted one-third of the book of Genesis to tell us about Joseph. Now, I can't remember how long it was, but several months ago on our Wednesday night, we did a little good overview Bible study. Remember that? The book of Joseph. And I enjoyed that. That was good. Now, in verse 22 says that in faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, here we're talking about death again, at the end of his life, talked about the exodus of the Israelites and gave them directions concerning his bones. So if we all study the life of Joseph, you understand that part. And to my knowledge, in the Bible, I have never read where Joseph's faith was ever faltered. I've read that he moved and trusted God, and he was able to deal with life as ups and downs. Now, when he was dying, he tells his brothers that God would lead them out of Egypt. So he continues this knowledge, this word of knowledge. Joseph also gave instructions concerning his bones. He made these Israelites promise that they would take his bones. And we read in the scriptures like 400 years later. 400 years later, it's in Exodus 13:19. Here we go. Let me read it. Exodus 13:19. Moses took the bones of Joseph with them, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. He was serious about not staying in that place. He wanted to make sure they dug up his bones and took them with him. And it took 400 years. Now, I'm going to say something kind of serious, and I need y'all to listen to me. I know it's kind of warm in here. Y'all hot? Warm? Y'all looking sleepy, too. Maybe it's me. We're going to preach, so you ready? Everybody say amen? All right, I'm going to say something serious, and I need you to pay attention. all of us, like you're not paying attention, you know, sorry. All of us will need our faith when it's time to die. Or when it's time for someone we love to die. When that time comes, there will not be any comfort in possessions, position, or prestige. The only thing that will matter when that time comes is what kind of faith do we have? Okay, earlier in Hebrews, we talked about several weeks ago about faith is the substance of things hoped for. And remember we talked about that substance. Faith is a substance. That substance is what's under our feet. What's our foundation? Is it Christ Jesus? Is it Jesus Christ is our foundation? Because, you know, we say we build our house on the rock. It will not prevail. You know, Jesus said He'd never leave us, never forsake us. You know, Jesus said He'll take care of us, you know, and He'll provide our needs. But if our foundation is not Christ, if it's anything in the world, when that death comes, you know, most folks don't do well with it. At that terrible, sad time of death, what will be the substance of your faith? What will be your hope? Okay, Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Amen? See, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph in these scriptures, at the end of their lives, each one of them faced death with confident faith that pleased God. In faith, they all died believing God's promises for them and their descendants. It's going to be important for some of you. Some of you have children. Some of us have children that are wayward and going to and fro. And whenever your time comes to pass away, you need to have your foundation in that God, right, fulfills His promises. Train up a child in the way he should go and will not depart from it. You can trust God with your children and your grandchildren. God is faithful. Now, concerning Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, for that reason, they were included in the Faith's Hall of Fame. You see, faith is needed most when it's time to die, but also, as we move into number two, faith is needed when it's time to decide. When it's time to decide. I'm going to spend most of our time right here, so y'all hang with me, take good notes. Next, we'll move into one of the other heroes of the, you know, Faith Hall of Fame, which is Moses. Everybody say Moses. Moses was a righteous cat. Some of you guys born in the 60s, 70s. Gary knows what I'm talking about, don't you? By the time of Moses, the Hebrews, which was descendants of Abraham, they had been in Egypt for about 400 years. And now they found themselves slaves. Okay, and you all know the story. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I gotta tell the story. These folks were reproducing children so rapidly that Pharaoh began to feel a threat that maybe they could overtake the nation. So he comes up with these crazy, wicked ideas that telling the midwives, you know, to kill all the Hebrew boys that were born, and that didn't work. So he came up with another crazy idea, a wicked crazy idea, and he gave an order to all Egyptians would take any Hebrew boy that was born and throw him in the river, the Nile River. Now, when Moses is born by faith, remember we're talking about faith, chapter 11. When Moses was born by faith, his parents hid him for 3 months. That's what the scripture said. Now, let's go to verse 23. Verse 23 says, it tells us that his parents could see God, gave them a beautiful and really, that means proper, beautiful, proper, fitting for the moment. That's what that Hebrew word means. Gave them a beautiful, proper child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's order. And so they hid him for 3 months. But after 3 months, I guess the heat was starting to come down, and so they had to, you know, couldn't hide him anymore. So what do? They to save the life of Moses, okay, his mother makes a small basket and coats it with pitch so it will float, and places Moses in this little basket and sends him down the river. Now let's stop right here for a minute, and I thought pitch. Some of you know what that means. I really didn't, to be honest with you. I thought I did, so I started digging around, and pitch is like it's like asphalt. It's like tar in its soft state. It was found in many little small pits, or even large pits around Mesopotamia, which is today the modern day Iran. So to me, I kind of went back to my childhood days of how, you know, we just think the dinosaurs were in the oil pits, you know, that kind of, remember that crazy stuff? And so there's the little small pits of oil, basically tar, and that's what it is. It can be found over today. If you go today, you can see these little small tar pits and things, mainly in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Iraq and Iran. But back in the Bible days, they used this pitch to coat the outside of vessels and boats and buildings and this kind of thing, you know. And so I thought that was interesting. Now, the word for baby Moses' basket is the Hebrew word teva. Teva. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And it's the same word used for ark, like Noah's ark. And last week we talked about Noah's ark. And these two arcs were very similar, but totally not alike at all. This is Moses' ark was probably about a yard long, and Noah's ark was about 150 times longer than that. Remember last week we talked about Noah's ark and how it's about 100 feet longer than a football field, half as wide, and about 4 stories tall. Okay, now Moses' ark was made from reeds from the Nile River. Moses' ark. Noah's ark was made from cypress wood. One thing they both have in common is they were both covered with pitch. And I'm sure it had a bad smell to it. Okay, but it kept them from sinking. Okay. Both arcs represent the same thing. God's means of saving humanity. Isn't that cool the way that really works out? Noah's ark saved a righteous family from God's judgment on humanity. And Moses' ark saved the man who would lead a nation to safety from God's judgment on Egypt. Both arcs are about salvation. God saving those that he loves. You see, they were life preservers, these arcs. They were life preservers for everyone on board, leading the world to the ultimate ark, which is the cross. The cross of Christ. The cross is for those today who are sinking in the sin. They are sinking. The cross is for us today. God always sends us a cross. in our life, God always sends us a cross. The ark is there for saving us. All we have to do is climb aboard. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Revelations 22:17 says, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty, let the one who desires take the water of life without price." Every time I hear that, I think about Billy Graham and his altar calls. He'll say, "Come, all you." Now, most of us know that the baby Moses floats down the river, right? Pharaoh's daughter, where she would take her baths. And as a result, Moses was adopted into the Pharaoh by his daughter, and he grew up in the palace. And at the age of 40, he had to make a decision. He had to make a choice. And young people, I want you to listen up with this one now, okay? He had to make a choice. Moses' decisions reveals three things we must do if we decide to follow God instead of the ways of the world. Three things. So bear with me. We're going to go through these three things real quickly. But there's three things these scriptures tell us that we need to do this if we're going to follow God instead of the ways of the world. Y'all ready? The three things are this. We must reject the world's prestige. We must reject the world's pleasures. We must reject the world's pressures. So prestige, pleasures, and pressures. This is what I got out of these scriptures here about Moses. Now let's take a quick look at these three. The reject the world's prestige in verse 24. Okay, in verse 24 it says, "By faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." You see, Moses had to decide. Am I gonna live the lifestyles of the rich and famous? Or am I going to live for God? Am I going to live with my people, who at that time were slaves? You see, we live in a world intoxicated by prestige. You see, that word prestige means the power to impress. For you younger folks, I say younger, I mean maybe younger in heart, you see it a lot on social media. People are so compelled to try to impress everyone. It's gone madness. Many people get caught up in the desire to impress with automobiles, homes, clothes, money, and positions. Now hear me clearly. There is nothing entirely wrong with those things. But if they become your identity, you're in serious trouble. The desire to give even the illusion of prosperity causes most people to go deep into debt up to their eyeballs. And that financial pressure becomes so hard. It's the number one reason for divorce in America is financial stress. Be careful not to get caught up in the worshiping of the God of prestige. Jesus said it best in Matthew 6:24. Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other. Or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Okay, here again, hear me when I say this. There is nothing bad about having an abundance of money. Money is not the root of all evil. The first part of 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "The love of money is the root of all evil." You see, guys, really, honestly, no one really loves money. It's just a piece of paper. or numbers in an account. Nobody loves that. It's not even what the Bible's talking about there, really. It's the things that money buys that a person can lust for or covet or begin to worship. It's those things. We have to be careful. Zig Ziglar, a famous motivational speaker, once said, "Money's not the most important thing in the world, but it does rank up there close to oxygen." Right? We all need money, you know. We all need it to pay our bills and live and function as human beings on planet Earth and have safe, dependable homes and cars and clothes and those kind. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with having an abundance of money. God, I believe God wants us to have a little extra so that we can bless others and we can you know, give to the poor, and we can help folks that are in need, and we can be a blessing to our family and our church family and our community and the world. And, you know, God wants us to have a little abundance. I believe that, you know, so that we can bless and further the kingdom of God. We see in the Bible where Moses had to decide to devote his life to serving God and not to becoming famous. Okay? Now, number two, we must reject the world's pleasures. Young folks, listen to this now. In verse 25, it says that by faith, Moses chooses to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, for all of us, at whatever age you're at, there comes a time when we must decide. Are we going to enjoy the pleasures of sin or live for God? And it will challenge you for the rest of your life. As long as you're a human being, you will always be kind of challenged with that. That's my belief. I'm going to say something, don't stone me, but here we go. Sin is fun. You ever heard a preacher say that? I'm kind of a realist, you know, in a way. But sin is fun. If it wasn't, no one would be tempted. No one would want to do it. I first started speaking a long, long time ago. I'd speak in middle schools and go and share. And the one thing I learned real quickly as a drug and alcohol counselor, you don't go into middle school and tell them drugs is not fun. You will not get their attention, and they will not even listen to you because they know it is fun. Okay? You got to hear where I'm coming from on this, though, okay? I'm talking about sinners, little kids running around smoking pot, doing pills, and stealing stuff. You got to go in from a different angle. You got to talk about the consequences of it. And, you know, and hear what I'm saying. We all know that sin leads to death, right? We all know that. So you got to kind of hear where I'm coming from with that. However, sin is only fun for a season, a short time. The devil can trick you into looking at the short-term pleasure of sin and not seeing the long-term pain and suffering. That's one of his specialties. It's the trickery of the devil. Especially with young folks. All they see is the fun and excitement and all the thrill and all that kind of stuff. And for most of them, it is fun and exciting and thrilling at the beginning. So I have to be real when I talk to young folks. Really. But what they don't see is the consequences and the end result. King David experienced short-term pleasure, didn't he? It was for a season when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. We know that didn't end up very well for him. He had a life of pain and shame. This is what he said in Psalms 51:3. Psalms 51:3. This is what David said. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." It is always before me, reminded me of my shame and my guilt and my embarrassment. Young folks, listen, sin may look pleasurable, it may look fun, it may be exciting, adventurous. I'm telling you, refuse it. Say no. Don't go there, because it has the consequences. In the end, it just brings shame and disappointment and regret and death. The Bible says lust gives forth to sin, and sin gives forth to death. If you guys that are married, that death could mean the death of a marriage, right? Don't literally have to mean death. God wants us to reject the world's sinful pleasures because He has our best interest at heart. Young folks, just like your parents, don't want you to do this or that. It's because they have your best interest at heart. And for everyone else in here, same thing applies, doesn't it? God doesn't want you to do this or this or this or this because He has your best interest at heart. He loves us. He wants us to have the best life that we can have here on earth. We're going to have trials, tribulations, but God wants what's best for us. So we have to be obedient. Third thing, reject the world's pressures. Reject the world's pressures. This is the last point. One of the biggest pressures of the world is the fear. It's fear. And inside that is the fear of man. In verse 23, it says that Moses regarded the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, because he fixed his attention on his heavenly reward. Let's look at that. That word reproach means to rebuke. It means to disapprove. Disapproval. You see, he wanted to please God. He wanted to please the Messiah. He did not want to let God down. He did not want to be rebuked by God. He didn't want to let Him down. This was more important to him than all the treasure in Egypt. I just want to do what God's called me to do, and I don't want to let Him down. That to me is worth more than all the treasure in Egypt. And then Moses fixed his eyes on his heavenly reward. That's what the scripture tells us. Verse 27. Let's look at verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. For he endured as seeing him who was invisible. See, guys, Moses wasn't afraid of this king's anger. He was more concerned about God's plan. I believe that one of the fears that we experience is this worldly pressure. This worldly pressure to try to be something that we're really not. Trying to worry about what people think about us. Many people suffer from this. They suffer from this fear of rejection. What are they going to say if I do this? What are they going to say about me? Well, what if I go do this? And what if I do that? What are they going to say? What are they going to think about me? You see, guys, Moses grew up in the king's palace. He had wealth, power, women, popularity, and all the parties he could throw. He gave it all up and followed God. He didn't care one bit what those fancy pantses said. He didn't care one bit about those high and mighty folks. He didn't care what they thought about him. There was a lot of folks that probably talked about him. Called him a fool. I'm become a Jesus freak. Religious fanatic. Left all his buddies and friends. Gave it all up. As a result of this, when we're studying the scriptures, verse 28 and 29, as a result, we see that Moses' good decision resulted in the first observance of the Passover. which Jesus later transformed into the Lord's Supper. Isn't that cool? And another result of Moses having faith to make good decisions is one of the most famous miracles found in the Bible. Right? Moses believing, having faith that God could part the Red Sea. Ah, amen. You see, we all face our own Red Seas. When problems are piling up high all around us, and it seems like the enemy is right on our back. You see, there are not times we must decide. We must have faith. We must decide, are we going to retreat from God's will for our lives and return back to Egypt, which is our old ways, our old self? Or are we going to continue on in faith and trusting God that He will take care of us? He will take care of you. He will fulfill His promises. You guys, we need faith when it's time to die, and we need faith when it's time to decide. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for this word. Thank You for our time together, Lord. Thank You for Hebrews. Lord, we love You. We thank You, Lord, that You did love us so much. You just sent Your only Son to die on the cross for us so that we can live with You forever in heaven. Father, we just pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord. If there's someone here today who's never accepted You as their personal Lord and Savior, that during that time of invitation, that song, that they'll come down and talk with me, and I'll be glad to pray with them. Or they can pray right there in their seat, Father, and they can give their life to You. Maybe someone needs to rededicate their life, or someone would like to join a church this morning. That would be awesome. Or get baptized. We just pray for this time here, Father. I ask that Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.